Lord, we pray that you would bring Christian families together, that they would be able to take care of these children and bring them in and be part of that. Lord, we thank you for the work that this church is doing for children. And Lord, for TKO on Saturday mornings. And Lord, for Wednesday nights when 62 children boarded that bus and came here. And Lord, the excitement that they have and just the love that they receive. And all rangers and missionettes. And Lord, we thank you, God, that you've placed us in this caring position. So Lord, we ask you to just continue to show us how to do better at what you've called us to do. Lord, as we enter this message this morning, we pray that you would just take it off of my heart and put it into my lips and put it into the hearts and the ears of the hearers today, Lord. God, we pray that it would be that word that comes from you that would be effective and that we would be able, oh God, to continue to trust more in you and lean not into our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge you that you would direct our paths. Yes, O Lord. Yes, O God. My message today is going to be dealing with delay. Oh, you didn't take the tithes? Oh, I'm sorry. Praise God, brother. Come on. I'll do it. All right. Well, we're going to delay. Whoa. I think you can tell by this morning that we've been right up to our ears getting ready for Cuba. And packing up. And thank you for the things you brought us this morning. We'll put them in someone's shoes or something. But I guess we could receive the tithes at the end of the service. But maybe God wants to do it now since we forgot. Okay. May you be blessed as you give this morning.
Here we are. The last song. And I pray that after the music stops that focus will be on you, Lord. People will see you for who you are and worship you with their lives. Cam, share your heart with us.
El Shaddai, God, you're almighty. God, you're almighty. And Father, I worship you. Shaddai, God, you're almighty. God, you're almighty. And Father, I worship you. I worship you. Yes, Father, I worship you. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. Jehovah Nissi, Lord, you're my banner. Lord, you're my banner. And Father, I worship you. Jehovah Nissi, Lord, you're my banner. Lord, you're my banner. And Father, I worship you. I worship you. Father, I worship you. Jesus, I worship you. I worship you. Jehovah Jireh, you're my provider. You're my provider. And Father, I worship you. Jehovah Jireh, Lord, you're my provider. Lord, you're my provider. And Father, I worship you. Jesus, I worship you. Jesus, I worship you. Lord, I worship you. Jesus, I worship you. Father, I worship you. Oh, Jesus, I worship you. My provider, I worship you. Oh, Father, I worship you.
Yes. Good morning. Before we pray over these baskets, something that Aquila didn't bring up. You know, Jesus said that what you done unto the least of these, you done unto me. And those 1,500 inmates, they're mentally challenged or mentally ill inmates. Some of them may be demon-possessed, but they're the least of the least of the inmates. And Jesus said, what you did unto the least of these, you done unto me.
Help us,
what
Lord.
You didn't do unto the least of these, you didn't
Help us,
do unto me.
Yes, I'm going to pray over the orphans. Would you bow your heads, please? Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Father. Father, we thank you for every gift that you have gave this morning, every orphan Jesus. That was gave this morning. Father, you remind me of the time that a lady gave one penny, mm-hmm. and it was acceptable to you.
Yes.
You said that she had gave more than all, Father.
Yes.
And so, Father, we thank you for every dime penny that was gave here, Father, because it is acceptable to you. And so we just ask that you accept this offering from us, Father. And we just give you all honor and glory and thanks in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Wish I'd had that song when I preached that message in Mexico City in Spanish. Trying to learn all of those Jehovah Nissi and Hira and all of this, but it's a great song. That's who God is. Bless the Lord. Well, I guess you can tell that I was raring to speak this morning. I've got something in my heart, and we've already prayed about it, so I guess I need to start doing it. Is that right? Or should we delay some more? That's what the message is going to be about, is how to deal with delay. Anybody have any problem with that? Is it hard? Is it hard when you're delayed? You know, in football, help me, Jason, they have delay of game. My son Andy is pastor of the Vineyard Church, but he also kind of, for part-time work or just enjoyment, he does referee work, and he could tell us exactly. But according to my research, in American football, which is different than football, which is soccer, an offensive team is penalized 5 yards for delay of game if it fails to put the ball in play by either the snap or a free kick before the play clock expires. This time limit varies by league and is often 25 seconds from the time the referee signals the ball ready for play. In the National Football League, it can also be 40 seconds from the end of the previous down, depending on the circumstances at the time. So we're talking about seconds. A delay of just seconds that has a penalty. Walmart, you've been there? You go back and forth, and you, like this, you know, and you look for the shortest line. And you finally get here because this one doesn't have as much in their buggy. And so you pick the shortest line, and you get up there, and the person in front of you has a problem with the price. So then they have to call a manager, a supervisor, or something, and you sit there, you stand there watching while all these people in those other lines just go right on through. That's delay. Have you ever sat at a red light and you start oozing up just a little bit? You know, or maybe you're going to turn left and it turns green for the others and you think you can, no, you can't go, Charlotte tells me. And she says, Joe. I said, aren't you glad my name's not Katzenjammer, you know? So, another thing, the train is not in my schedule. I had no idea that I was going to have to stop for 100. I counted 100 cars the other day that went by. Train cars, not our cars. you're headed to the airport and you don't want to see construction or an accident? And what about delay if it becomes months, years, hours, months, or years? You see, at that time, well, you want to pray a prayer that goes something like this. Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now. Well, that's really not what patience is. What is patience? It means to endure. It means patiently continuing. In other words, it means waiting. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. And not so, only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience, what? Hope. I knew you'd do that word around here. So you have to be careful in praying for patience. Lord, give me patience, because he will send you tribulations so that you will learn how to handle delays and when things don't go the way you thought that they did. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And so, you've heard us say many times that we get saved, and then we move into a sanctifying process where that we're getting a little bit more like Jesus every day. And he tells us a little bit more of what he's expecting of us. And we can either refuse, rebel, or we can obey. And that we are able to go through this time of growth. Little boy kept falling out of bed every night. He screamed. His father picked him up, put him back in bed. And he finally said, Daddy, I think I figured it out. He said, the reason I fall out of bed is because I stay too close to where I got in. You see, that's, as Christians, we cannot stay too close to just saying, I want to serve you, Jesus. We've got to be disciples of the Lord. We've got to go through these times of testing, and we've got to go through these times of growth, Christian growth. And as the scripture says, they count it joy when you fall into various trials. That word could also mean temptations, tribulations, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So we are going to grow in faith and in the knowledge of the Lord as we are sanctified and set apart and made holy unto God. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So we are involved in a time of waiting. And we, during that time of waiting, we are to grow, we're to develop, we're to move forward in the Lord. In the book of John, chapter 5, verse 1 through 9, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In there lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed. What were they doing? They were waiting for the moving of the water. They had heard that there might be some hope, because there was this kind of this saying that the first one that got in after an angel came down would get healed. For an angel went down at certain times into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Verse 5, now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. Say 38 years. That's longer than some of you are born. That's where the rest of us wish we were 38. I'm 38. My phone number is 316-3801. He was lying there, and he knew he had already been in that condition a long time, 38 years. Jesus said to him, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? He says that to all of us. Do you want to be made well? There is nothing in your life that you can't get well. Maybe in your body, because one scripture there that says the outward man is perishing. And we don't like that part. It says the inward man is being renewed day by day. But if there's something from the past, if there is garbage that you've brought into your life, he is a garbage collector. And we can get rid of it through discipleship, through obedience, through listening, through counseling, through help, through prayer. We can become that person that is perfect and clean and in the sight of the Lord. That's what he's saying to all of us today. Do you want to be made well? I do. The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man." I've looked at that scripture as really a motivation for the Great Commission when the world says those that are blind and lame and sick in every other way besides physical, they are saying, "I have no man. I have no one." I want to challenge you to at least find one person that you can commit yourself to reach out and to make a difference in their life. Tom Hill is in Tel Aviv today. He's coming home Thursday. Amen. But he has committed himself to that one cause and to a man named Shmolik. Say that, Shmolik. I think I said it right. That is so close to receiving the Lord that he is already saying, "I need to witness to my brother." And he hasn't said Jesus yet, but he will. But you see, if we could be that man, that woman, he says, "I have no one, I have no one." May it not be that a neighbor, that someone would say that to us, "I have no one to come and help me out of my misery. I have no one." When I'm coming and the water stirred up, another steps down before me. But Jesus said to him, do you believe Jesus is the answer? Jesus said to him, "Take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. He had been waiting 38 years, and then comes Jesus. May it be that that person doesn't have to wait 38 years because God has called us to be that link between their need and God's answer. I like this next scripture. I call it the power of hope. It's in Luke chapter 8, verses 42 through 48. "But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, a hemorrhage, who had spent all of her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any," one passage says, rather didn't get better but got worse, "came from behind and touched the border of his garment." It says when she heard about Jesus, she said, "I've got to get to him." And she pushed through the crowd. She pressed through the crowd, one version says. It reminds me when I was a little boy and we were at these conferences and big meetings and I could see my dad's head because he was pretty tall. But I wanted to get to him, but there was a throng of people there. And so, out being a little boy, I think I went under their legs, or I pushed them aside. I pushed through to where I could get to my daddy. Well, see, that's what this woman did. She heard about Jesus, and she pressed through the crowd, and she just touched the hem of his garment. Immediately, her flow of blood stopped. Immediately, she was healed, and Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched me?" They said, "The throng is around you." His disciples said, "They're all touching you." He said, "But someone touched me with a touch of faith. I perceive power going out from me." When the woman saw she was not hidden, she came trembling, falling down before him. And she declared to him in the presence of all that she had touched him and that she was healed immediately. He said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." So here she had been in a delay of suffering for 12 years, but Jesus came at his time, the right time, and he touched her when she touched the hem of his garment. So how do we handle waiting? Waiting involves faith and hope. But it's all about Jesus. It's faith in Jesus, faith in his word. It's the hope that Jesus gives. And so we pray, and sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes there's a delay in the prayer that we've prayed. Is anybody here today that's prayed and it hasn't come yet? Would you raise your hand? Oh, my goodness, look at that. God answers every prayer. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no. Because if it's not His will, if it's not in according to the Word, He's not going to pray for you to get a license to sell beer. He's not going to answer that prayer. He is going to say no. So sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, but sometimes it's wait. So what do? We wait. We wait. And God uses these delays to teach us to trust Him more. I can look back and in the few short-lived years I've lived. Okay. And I recognize times that, where are you, God? I prayed. The Scripture said, ask it shall be given. I prayed, but I had to wait. I had to wait. We thought one time that we had sold our businesses. There was escrow money. There was escrow money that had been put down. And I was just knowing this time next month I'll be free from all those businesses. I'll be able to minister without this encumbrance and baggage that's been on me since the Lord called me into the ministry. And I was just really, all of a sudden I heard that the owner didn't sell his property. The buyer didn't sell his property. And I thought, and I was fretting and worrying. By the way, the Scripture says, do not worry. So if we do, we're in disobedience. I was worrying. And Charlotte was my answer that day. She saw my condition. Here's what she said, and it was God speaking through her. God can speak through wives, you know. She said, if it's God's will, it'll go through. And if it's not, you would not have wanted to do it anyway. And it did not go through. And we had to wait. Had to wait 3 or 4 more years before we could get out of that business. But as I look back now, I can see that if that would have happened, this wouldn't have happened. And that God knew what He was doing. You know, He knows more than we do. And as He guided our lives through that waiting period, then we were able to learn to trust Him more fully and to believe that we can rest. We can rest in His delay. 2013 was quite a year for Charlotte and me because that involved 5 surgeries. That involved PICC lines going in my arm where that she had to several times a day administer that antibiotic to my veins and all sorts of things. And times that we thought, well, first of all, the doctor said it's 2 hours, 2 days in the hospital, and 2 weeks at home. Unless you get an infection. But not me, I wash my hands. But learning how to handle delays is not just something I read in a book. It's something that we've lived out. And we've been able to say, I'm going to Cuba tomorrow, hallelujah, and I can walk. No wheelchair, no walkers. I can run if necessary. And I can go through that security line, and for sure it will bling, 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 because there is a piece of metal inside of me, about $100,000 worth probably, you know. So when God delays, we must trust Him by submitting our agendas to Him. First of all, be careful with an agenda. I've met a lot of people that have their own agenda. And they want you to operate on their agenda. We've got to submit our agendas to Him. We may say this has to take place. I have to do this by this because this, this, and this. But God has His agenda. We submit ours to Him. When God delays, we must trust Him to accomplish His will through us by His power. That His will is going to be done. That's part of the Lord's Prayer. That Your will be done. Your kingdom would come. Your will be done. And so we have to just trust Him that He's going to accomplish His will for us, and He's going to use us in the process. And in using us, it may be that that's what He's doing to trim off those bad things and put in those good things. When God delays, we must trust in Him and not in our circumstances. I knew someone that said, I said, how are you doing? Pretty good under the circumstances. And I said, well, you need to get on top of them, not under them. You need to get on top of those circumstances, because we cannot trust in circumstances. We've got to trust in God, who can rearrange circumstances for our benefit. How many times have we said, well, I didn't know about this delay, but maybe there was going to be a wreck down the road or something, and God knew better than to put me out there on that highway right now. And maybe it was a flat that went down, not a blowout, because there would have been a blowout at high speed and would have been maybe a turnover. So we trust in Him, not in our circumstances. Even though we're seeking to trust in the Lord, it's so easy to put our hope in the circumstances instead of the Lord Himself. It does not even matter. I've seen times that when the word has come and the assurance was there, the circumstances were not there. But in my spirit, in my heart, in my soul, I knew that God had said, yes, I'm with you. Yes, it's going to be there. Think about the Apostle Paul. He was brought before Felix. And every time that Felix called for Paul, which was often, according to Acts 24, 26, his hopes must have soared. Oh, this is going to be it. This is going to be my deliverance. Maybe today Felix would trust in Christ, and the whole time of imprisonment would finally make some sense. Every Wednesday night intercession, we are praying for Saeed Abedini, who's an Assembly of God pastor from Idaho, that has been held in Iranian prison for over a year now because he went there to start an orphanage, which he had permission to do, but he got countercrossed there, and he's been in prison all this time. And it doesn't make sense. And we say, well, maybe. And we pray, Lord, help him lead someone to the Lord. But we look at those things, and Paul must have said, this would make sense. It may not make sense. Think of the influence Christ would have, this powerful man would have, if he accepted the Lord. Maybe Paul thought that it must be the reason God has me in prison, that Felix is going to become a Christian. Or perhaps when Felix called for Paul, that they had that enjoyable conversation, he went back to his cell and thought, maybe now he'll release me so I can get on with my ministry. I want to tell you something. We look for the very thing that is going to make the difference, the goal that we're headed for, and yet the real goal is the process as we move towards that goal. It's what God is doing in our life through that time. And that's what was happening here, perhaps, is that it was not ready. He was not time. Felix never became a Christian. He did not release Paul. Acts 24:24. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now, for when I have a convenient time, I will call for you. The unbelievers have excuses many times, and they put things off, and for some it's too late. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. But after 2 years, this is a delay, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound. When God delays, we must trust Him by doing what is right, even if we do not reach our goals, our agenda, but we do what is right in that situation. We walk in integrity. You see, Paul was a man of integrity and who would not use corrupt means to get out of jail. He could have bribed him and he would have been free, but it was not what God wanted, and he would not take into himself that which would not be of the Lord. He could have thought, I have so much to accomplish. Why just pay him off? And why not? Because Paul knew that doing right and not reaching our goals is better than doing wrong in order to reach them. God uses delays. He uses delays to teach us to submit more thoroughly to His lordship over our lives. He is Lord. And it's been said, if He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. But He teaches us to submit and to trust that He has it. New expression, I've got this. Well, He says, I've got this. I've got this. I've got your life. It ain't over till it's over. Sanctification's the same way. It isn't over until we meet the Lord in heaven or in the air. Or even if we've yielded our lives totally to Jesus as Lord, there's always more to yield. God delays often to expose these areas in our lives that we need to yield further to Him. We submit to God and to His lordship by acknowledging that He is God and we are not. Would you say that? You are God and I am not. We submit to God's lordship by acknowledging that He is God and we are not. Paul, for many years, the Romans had for many years a longing. He had come to visit them in Rome, he says. Finally, it looked like he would realize that dream. He would just deliver the gift to the church at Jerusalem and head for Rome. He wasn't doing anything in Jerusalem but stir up controversy. He was risking a riot. So he was just quietly going about his business in the temple when some of the Jews from Asia just happened to spot him, and they started this riot and led to his imprisonment. Suddenly, Paul's plans to get to Rome were put on hold for over 2 years. So a delay again. We must submit to God's lordship by not grumbling and complaining. During this waiting time, during this delay, if we want to stay in right relationship with the Lord, then we need to praise Him, to bless Him, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the situation. We need to say, Lord, You are Lord, and we will not grumble, we will not complain. Any form of complaining is a lack of thanksgiving. This is November the 2nd. Thanksgiving is this month. But in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He wrote the prison epistle to the Philippians from that prison. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you will appear as lights in the world. You might want to write this one down. Delay, dealing with delay, requires a long obedience. A long obedience. My father said in a message, I remember, the hardest part of waiting is the last half hour. When we held on. And then we find that finally it is coming. About 2 weeks ago, I received an email from Dr. Eduardo Gonzalez. We had a prayer about it with a few people, but tried to just kind of not cause worry to our team. It said, some of the visas are being denied. We do not know which ones. We had already bought. We have to buy two sets of tickets to get to Cuba. One to Cancun, where we'll go tomorrow. Not to the beach. Another one has to be ordered from England, and it's from Cancun to Havana. Don't you wish you had this right now? Aren't you thirsty? We had bought both of those, basically non-refundable tickets. And so we prayed, but I began to think about, now what if this happens? Some of these brothers, the first time they've ever been to Cuba, and they're longing to go. And then my biggest worry was, we lose this money. God, we're trying to be stewards. We're trying to do everything. I wash out styrofoam cups, Lord. But What is going to happen if we lose this money? All of that. Pardon me. It still doesn't work. Okay. You try to cover the cough. Last Monday, as I was praying, Spirit came to me, and I'll just call it the Holy Spirit, I believe it was, said, proceed as if you're going, which meant get to work on all of the documents, all of the clerical things that had to be prepared to get into Cuba. By the way, tomorrow afternoon about 5 o'clock, please pray for us. We'll be going through immigration in Cuba. And we will need your prayers to just let them look the other way and let our bags through and all those things that God can do. Still no visas. We met with the team on Friday night and tried to explain that we were going to go ahead and go, but it would be as tourists. Now I've got a hundred certificates, and I've still got to sign them. But it's signed by about, you know, the General Superintendent of the Assemblies of God, and it's a certification of chaplains that we're going to teach. And so if we had gone as tourists, then we couldn't have done that. We would have just, you know, visited some people and so on. Been a disappointment to the people that had planned to go. Yesterday morning, I went to my office to do the last touches on this message. And I looked, and there certainly was an email from Eduardo. He said the visas were approved, and they're going to be delivered today. So I lived this message, not just this last year, but this last 2 weeks of dealing with delay. What do we do? They were granted yesterday morning, the last half hour. So everything's a go. There was a time in my life, there's probably been one of these in your life. It hasn't just been a time, it's been many times. But it was a delay. It was that situation that was not happening. Something that you would worry about. You couldn't sleep at night. I was at Teen Challenge as director there, here in Tyler, and had a young lady from Alabama that had come to help us, and she was going to do the devotion that morning. And it's happened before. All of a sudden, I realized this is directly for me. God has put this in her heart. She didn't know it, but it's directly for me. And I want to share that with you. It's in Daniel chapter 10, verses 10 through 19. Suddenly, a hand touched me, Daniel speaking, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, "Oh, Daniel." Oh, did you know he knows your name? He knows your name. Youth, Jesus knows your name. He said, "Oh, Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you." While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel." See, that's our problem, is fear. "For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard." God hears our request. He hears our prayers. "Your words were heard. I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. 3 week delay. 21 days. Behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come." When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. He had been with God. And suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, "My Lord, because of the vision of my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I've retained no strength." I spoke here a while back on being overwhelmed. "For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me." Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. How do we handle delays? With the strength of the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All I need is a touch from the Lord, and I'm ready to go another 100 miles because He is there for us, and He will sustain us. He will be with us. And he said, "O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong." So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, "Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me." When that young lady shared that morning, well, I realized that God hadn't said no. He just said wait. And that what I was going through was going to get to the other side. It was just a matter of waiting. But her words of encouragement says it happened to Daniel. It can happen to you. And it did. There was a time when God came through. And I've seen it happen so many times. Praise be the name of the Lord. In the early church, they heard about the coming of the Lord. And those disciples, those 500 that saw him, those 120 that went to the upper room, they really believed when he said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself." In fact, the scripture says here in 1 Corinthians 16:22, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love with you all in Christ Jesus." They were living under adverse conditions. The believers' morale was lifted by the hope of the coming of the Lord. Maranatha became the common greeting of the oppressed believers. Rather than just doing the usual Jewish shalom, they'd say Maranatha. And that meant he is coming. He's coming again. He's coming again. And so he came to them, but it's like it has to the heritage and my ancestors that loved the Lord. He came at the bedside. His coming of the Lord was there and took him with him. It was a rapture from the bed. And it may be that way, but we don't know. And we have to wait for the coming of the Lord. Just as they waited and waited, we are at a place where we are waiting. They knew the Lord would be returning to set up his kingdom, and they got great comfort that it was going to be better than the Roman control. They were constantly reminded that the Lord was coming, and they saw those times, those parables that talked about the coming of the Lord. I just want to proclaim to you all today that he is coming and that we have to stay ready. Ready or not, here he comes. During this time of waiting, there must be a time of rejoicing as we wait. Must be a time of praising during the storm. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 to 19 says, "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herds in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord." Mariah, would you come? "I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet." Some of the men are saying amen. They're going after that food for the table. "He'll make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk upon my high hills." Not high heels, high hills. So we praise him in the storm. One last scripture, 130 Psalm, verse 5. "I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. I wait for the Lord. The early church, the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Can we pray that prayer this morning? Lord, bring more hope to my situation. Whether it changes or not, my hope is in you. My trust is in you. My rest is in you. Waiting involves resting in the Lord. We sang a song this morning. It said, lay your burdens down. Lay your burdens down. Would you stand with me, please? I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward. If you want to just pray by yourself this morning, we'll just kneel at the altars here. If you want someone to pray with you about a situation, maybe there's a delay that's happening in your life that you don't understand, but you know that just having someone else pray with you about it will strengthen you. It will increase your faith. It will increase your hope. While we wait, we praise God that we can learn to deal with delays. Things that we don't understand, God does understand. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Lord God, I pray now that You would touch the heart of every person here. Adversities, when things have gone wrong that were not on our agenda, Lord, we pray that You would strengthen us today. That You would give us understanding that You are in control. May we yield our agendas to You. May You become Lord of our lives. That we would trust in You. We would rest in the Lord. We would be able to put on faith, hope, and love today. Blessed be Jesus. Touch every person here today, God. Let this be a time where that we leave, and throughout the week, these words come back. Because it's Your word, not mine. It's Your words that teach us how to live. Thank You, Lord. Just remain in a spirit of prayer. Come forward if you feel a need to this morning. Perhaps you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord.